Hi, this is Pastor Bill Woods, and I can't believe, you know, how close we are getting to Easter or Resurrection Day. It's only three Sundays away. Have you prepared your heart to thankfully celebrate the most important day and season in the Christian life? The world has desecrated this glorious day with bunnies and eggs and Easter baskets and brunches and Easter parades with Easter bonnets, all designed to forget the true meaning of our celebration. So I'd say please take time to thank and praise God for the sacrifice that Christ made on the cross for our atonement. He made it for you and for me. Years ago, I was privileged to attend the Jack Heil School for Pastors in Hammond, Indiana. It was very informative and very inspirational. And Reverend Heil preached a sermon I still remember. Today, I want to borrow some of his thoughts to share with you. I'm preaching on the topic, Sir, We Would Like to See Jesus. In John chapter 12, verses 20 through 24, in the New King James Version, it says, "Now there were certain Greeks among those who came up to worship at the feast. Then they came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida of Galilee, and asked him, saying, 'Sir, we wish to see Jesus.' Philip came and told Andrew, and in turn Andrew and Philip told Jesus. But Jesus answered them, saying, 'The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain.'" Now, I know today that I'm going to fail in preaching this sermon. I mean, I always fail when I try to preach about Jesus. There are some sermons I preach, I do a pretty good job. I adequately cover the subject. I communicate the truth. When I'm done, I feel like I hope that God can use this in a very special way because I did the very best I could. But today, when I turn off my computer and I'm finished recording, I know that I will have failed. I will pray, "I tried, Jesus. I just couldn't do it. I failed because there's no way I can tell my listeners how wonderful you really are. Please forgive me, Lord. I tried, but I know that I failed again." Artists with their brushes have tried to paint portraits that could catch the likeness of Jesus on canvas. Each has added something, but all have failed. Poets with their pens have tried to express how wonderful Jesus is. Each has added something, but all have failed. Orators have attempted to communicate the might and power of our blessed Redeemer. Each has added something, but all have failed. Hymn writers have tried to express the majesty of Jesus Christ through rhyme and measure, and each has added something, but all have failed. And so this morning, I know as I talk about Jesus Christ, I will fail too. I'll fail because the human tongue cannot even begin to express the awesomeness of Jesus Christ. How we need to see Jesus today, to bask in his presence, to feel the cleansing and security that he brings to a sin-sick heart. The world is out of control. I know I don't have to tell you that. All you have to do is look at the news or listen to what's going on. Christ is the only one who can offer us stability. Not Joe Biden, he couldn't. Not Hillary Clinton, not Nancy Pelosi or Chuck Schumer, not Lindsey Graham or Barack Obama or even Donald Trump. Only Jesus Christ can answer the needs of this world today. Listen to the hymn writers as they try to express the wonder of Christ. "All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all." Or majesty, worship his majesty. Unto Jesus be all glory, honor, and praise. Majesty, kingdom, authority, flow from his throne unto his own, his anthem raise. Or all hail King Jesus, All hail Emmanuel, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, bright and morning star. And throughout eternity, I'll sing his praises. I'll reign with him throughout eternity. Or there is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its worth. It sounds like music in mine ear, the sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me. Charles Converse wrote, "What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer." Lila Long said it this way, "Jesus is the sweetest name I know, and he's just the same as his lovely name, and that's the reason why I love him so. Oh, Jesus is the sweetest name I know." Thurl Harris said, "All that thrills my soul is Jesus. He is more than life to me, and the fairest of 10,000 in my blessed Lord I see." Or, "There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. None else could heal all our soul's diseases. No, not one. No, not one." Or, "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus." There's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Let all heaven and earth proclaim, kings and kingdoms will all pass away. But there's something about that name. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord. Well, since Jesus is so wonderful, we ought to talk about him every chance we get. And so I want to say, let's talk about Jesus. There's a song, "Let's Talk About Jesus. The King of Kings is he, the Lord of Lords supreme through all eternity. The great I am, the way, the truth, the life, the door. Let's talk about Jesus more and more." A missionary had gone to Africa. He was having trouble learning the language of the tribe that he was supposed to minister to. He missed hearing English used. He heard that an evangelist was coming to a nearby city to speak and would be speaking in English using an interpreter for the natives. He went to hear something in his own language. That would be so comforting right now. The speaker is one of those ultra-liberal speakers, though. He denied the inspiration of the Bible, the virgin birth, the divinity of Jesus. He denied a person had to be saved to go to heaven, and the missionary was irate as he listened to all this heresy being said to these people. Each sentence this man spoke, a little 17-year-old girl would interpret. At the end of the speech, an invitation was given, and the native people came forward by the hundreds to pray and confess their sins and accept Jesus as their Savior. Well, this confused the missionary because he had heard nothing that would make people want to repent. He asked the 17-year-old interpreter about it, and she answered, "Oh, me no tell them what he said, me tell them about Jesus." Praise God. How are your loved ones, your neighbors, the people at work going to know about Jesus if you don't talk with him? Oh, lift up Jesus. Lift up Jesus. He's the only one can fill the void in me. Just lift up Jesus. Lift up Jesus. He's the only one we really need to see. We ought to witness about Christ's saving grace. One of the funniest stories I heard was when Jack Hiles was pastor at Hammond, Indiana, First Baptist Church, that an irate lady came to see him one day. The church had had a very aggressive calling program trying to win people to the Lord and get them to attend First Baptist Church. She had been approached with the questions, you know, if you died today, what would you tell God to get him to let you into his heaven? Well, this question just made the woman wrathy. She said that she had been asked at the store by one of his people, if she died today, what would she tell God to get her into heaven? She had heard the same question while working in her garden. She was out there, and two or three people from the church came and asked that question again. And when she took out the trash, she said, she screamed, I can't even take my garbage to the alley without your people bothering me. What do you have to say about that? Well, Pastor Hiles looked at her and said, if you died today, what would you tell God to get him to let you into his heaven? You know, I'd be willing to face down that kind of wrath if we would just get burdened enough to tell people about Jesus. Just to somehow tell them that he's the only answer that they need today, that he can forgive sins, he can heal the broken hearts, he can do what needs to be done, and he offers not only forgiveness of sin and fellowship with God here, but heaven for all eternity. You know, some people suggested at that time they get a website, you know, or they said we ought to run an ad in the paper, or we should be on the radio. Listen, none of those things are as effective as personal witnessing. We ought to preach Jesus everywhere we go. A lady was very, very ill. She was dying in the hospital. The priest came in to hear her confession, and she kept saying, well, show me your hands. Well, the priest didn't understand why she wanted to see his hands before she would confess her sins to him. He asked her, why? Why is it so important to see my hands? The lady said, my Savior has nail scars in his hands. I want you to know they're there for you and they're there for me. Jesus became sin to pay our sins so we might be forgiven, adopted into God's family, and live and rule with him forever. You know, we don't understand that sometimes, that Jesus not only took our sins upon himself, he actually became the very essence of sin that was so repulsive to God the Father that God had to turn his face away from his son hanging there between heaven and earth on the cross. And that's when Jesus cried, my God, why have you forsaken me? If Jesus hadn't satisfied the atonement for us, we'd go to hell. There'd not be any other choice for us. But you know, the world doesn't want to know about Jesus. Remember how the social media fought Mel Gibson's film, The Passion of the Christ? The reason the world gets so shook up is found in John chapter 3, verse 19. And this is the judgment, that light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. I want you to know that Jesus hasn't only prepared a place for us in heaven, but he can bring fulfillment to our lives while we're here still on earth. We can know his presence and his blessings right here on earth. You know, sometimes we think that God doesn't hear our prayers. I want you to know God does hear our prayers and God does answer our prayers. And we need to realize that God is very concerned and involved in our lives. My youngest daughter, Kim, was a victim of a very nasty divorce. Her husband had deserted her and three children and ran off with another woman. Well, he was gone long enough that it came to almost to a point where he could be counted as desertion, but somebody tipped him off. I think it was his sister, and he got back just a day or two before the final deadline, and then he began to hassle her. He challenged her for the children. He didn't really want the children, but he wanted to inflict as much pain on Kim's life as he possibly could. It went to court, and Scott told one lie after another and was able to schmooze the judge. The result was Kim was ordered by the court to give the children to Scott. Now, he had had a conversation with Marty one time, and he said that his big goal was to turn the kids against God, to take away their thought about being Christians because they'd missed so much fun in life. And he just wanted to make sure they didn't fall into that old fogey religion. You know, our family took the matter before God in prayer, and we asked for God's judgment. At the last minute, we weren't sure what was going to happen, but at the last minute, the judge recused herself. Her verdict was reversed, and Kim kept the kids. Listen, I want you to know again, there's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, what one? Not one. He does answer prayer. I want to say today, I'm so tired of sin. I'm so tired of playboy lifestyle and hustler and all the filthy pornography on the internet, ruining lives and ruining families. I'm so tired of homosexuality being called an alternate lifestyle and AIDS. And I'm tired of immorality and Marxism and rebellion against God being taught in schools and online and flaunted everywhere. I'm tired of the racial tensions and riots and wild, violent demonstrations. I'm just sick of people dying of heart attacks and cancer and of children being abused and their bodies being butchered, of terror shooting up churches and schools. I'm sick and tired of the blame game. Our government and our politicians constantly are lying to us. I'm so tired of war and death. I'm tired of the world glorifying Satan with their celebrations of evil and death and rebellion against Almighty God. Satan and his demons are nothing to celebrate. Hollywood is glorifying sin. Even the once trusted Disney films promote filth today. I'm tired of sin destroying lives and homes and everything that's right and decent. I want to see Jesus, just to look into his face, just to worship him. You know, my mom and my sister and my grandma and my grandpa are all there with Jesus right now. Grandma died February 17th, 1985. My mom died the very next year on February 19th, 1986. My sister Peggy died on May 23rd, 2014. I miss them, but you know, I wouldn't wish them back to hit the heartache of this awful world anymore. All the things that are happening, the rebellion that's going on against Almighty God, the sin that's destroying lives and families, I wouldn't want them to come back here. It's the same with the little girl that I knew about named Katie Wagner. A young girl, 15 years old, that was taken to the ER, and she was diagnosed as having a bladder infection, and she was sent home. She did not get better, and finally was put in Phoenix Children's Hospital, where they found her to be full of a rare cancer. They tried to treat it, but to no avail. She was placed in Ryan House, which is a children's hospice. Her family had a room there, and she was treated for cancer for 2.5 years. One morning, she woke up and said, "Is this my birthday? There's going to be a party for me." Well, her family didn't know what she was talking about, and they thought, well, you know, in order to make her feel better, if she thinks she's going to have a party, we're going to have to put something together. So her family threw together an impromptu party. But she said that wasn't the party she was supposed to have. She had her best friend put on makeup on her face and get her just as pretty as she could make her. She asked her mom to bring her a party dress so she would look decent at her party. The family didn't know what to do because she was still talking about her party at 11 o'clock that night. About 11:15, she starts saying, "Can't you see them? They are coming to take me to my party. Then can't you feel them? They're touching me to take me to my party." By 11:30, she had gone to her party. You know, we think it is shame that she died so young. She was 18 by this time. But praise God, we know she made it. They are all with Jesus. My grandma, my grandpa, my mom, my sister, Katie, are all with Jesus. They see him now. They wouldn't want to return. It's just so wonderful where they are. And it's promised to you that you can go there too. What a shame we forget this world isn't our permanent home. God has prepared heaven for us. It will be so much more wonderful than we can even imagine. Sir, we would see Jesus, the Greek said. There's the answer. Jesus is the answer for everything that this world needs. You know, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. I'm going to try to sing a verse or two of one of my favorite songs, It Will Be Worth It All. Oft times the day seems long, our trials hard to bear. We're tempted to complain, to murmur and despair. But Christ will soon appear to catch his bride away. All tears forever over in God's eternal day. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. I'm not in real good voice today, so I'm going to read the rest of it to you. Sometimes the sky looks dark with not a ray of light. We're tossed and driven on, no human help in sight. But there is one in heaven who knows our deepest care. Let Jesus solve your problem. Just go to him in prayer. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. Life's day will soon be o'er, all storms forever past. We'll cross the great divide to glory safe at last. We'll share the joys of heaven, a harp, a home, a crown. The tempter will be banished and we'll lay our burdens down. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. He's coming soon to get his church, to take his children home to be with him for all eternity. I would ask you, please, be ready. Get, you know, because it will be worth it all just to see his face when he claims it for his own. Then 10 million years to sing Amazing Grace. It will be worth it all when we get home. The Greeks wanted to see Jesus. That's what people need to see today. They need to see Jesus Christ. Can they see him in you? I mean, some of us that claim to be Christians, we ought to be living in such a way that people know there's something about us that's different, that we're tuned into a different world, that we belong to Jesus Christ, our Savior, and that we've found the joy and contentment, even though we happen to be in this wicked world, that we found the joy that only Jesus Christ can bring. Sometimes people say, well, I want to be happy. Well, Christians are happy most of the time, but happiness is not joy. Even when I'm unhappy, I can have the joy of knowing my sins are forgiven, of knowing my life's written, my name's written in the book of life, and that one day I'm going to be in heaven for all eternity with Jesus Christ, and I don't have to worry about eternity in hell because I've been redeemed and I belong to the Lord and Savior. Listen, if people follow you, will they be able to see Jesus in your life? If your family is following you, will they be able to see Jesus? Will you lead them on the right direction? God, I pray that you help us each one, that we might know you as our personal Savior. And Father, as we live for you, we might live in such a way that our lives will be contagious, that other people will want to find the peace, the joy that we have found because we confessed our sins to Jesus Christ, and we know that we're on our way for glory with you. I just ask God today that any that don't know you as their personal Savior would bow their heads, confess their sins, repent of their sins, and ask Jesus to come into their lives. We'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, praise God. If you need to get a hold of me, you can write to me at Box 4031, Sun Valley, Arizona, 86029. Or you can use my phone number, 623-845-2741, to call if you want to talk to me. Or you can text me at that same number, 623-845-2741, and I'll be glad to do whatever I can to help you. Jesus Christ can do everything that you need, and you need to let him be your Lord. Have a happy week, and next week we will talk again about Resurrection Sunday and how glorious it is. God bless you. Amen.